I feel it is more important people to understand how to function. God is raising up a people, and the people that God is raising, it has been the will of God from ancient past. It has been God's purpose, and that purpose has not changed. From Genesis, God was seeking up a people that he can establish justice, righteousness, his kingdom through them. And here we are. And in this generation, God says, I am raising a people again. We are not living in a moment where heaven is silent. We're living in a generation that God has a purpose. Do you understand that after the Old Testament prophets, more especially Malachi, there were 400 years, 400, where God was quiet. There was no miracle, no sign, no power, nothing. Do you understand that when they were in Israel, when they were in Egypt, for 400 years, there was completely nothing, as if God does not exist. They saw nothing. There was completely quiet. It was completely quiet. And these are the moments when people begin to think, I think God is not there. And the next appearance was so amazing that the next appearance after 400 years was the birth of Jesus. When everybody had forgotten about God and about the move of God, the next appearance was Jesus. Similarly, in Egypt, for 400 years, it was quiet. The next appearance was Moses. And for years, it has been silent. And our generation is the next appearance. This is the next appearance. Check around. This is the next appearance. God is raising up. The prophetic is all over the world. It's so difficult to deny it that even you now, you're prophetic. You never thought you would. Years ago, you never thought you're going to be prophetic. You never thought about that. You were just a believer. You were just a Christian. But as I'm speaking right now, you're also prophetic. You never thought about it. Years ago, you never thought of it. But here we are. We are talking with a prophetic woman. We are talking about a prophetic man because we're in a season where God says, in this moment, I'm going to shake the earth again. So, I know most of the times people who think they love God, and yet they don't love God. And these are the people who, when you ask them, they'll be like, me, the way I love God, I can never live. These are the very same people that lose revelation. After this session, after these prayers, 2 weeks from now, they would have forgotten the whole revelation of the Jesus nation. They'll begin to move on with their own revelation, their own thinking, their own plans. And they will not stick on what God said. Move in this direction. So this teaching, God is calling us into a movement. And God says, I want you to move into this direction. That's why I shared earlier on. I said, God does not just appear. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
God does not just show up. God uses order. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, we saw a very important aspect.
For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints.
So if you read in NIV,
for God
and also in Message translation.
For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregation of the Lord's people.
Now, it says what? It says, This is to what? To all congregation. So this decree, it's not for one person. The Bible says, as it is in all churches, God is God of what? Order. Am I speaking to you? That's why when God is raising anyone else, when God is raising you, anyone else that God is raising, he raises them under a certain order. So he establishes the protocol, which is the order. Then he calls people to save or to appear under that order. When he called Moses, under the order of Moses, there was Joshua. Under the order of Elijah, there were two people. Elisha, and 1,000 years later, another man appeared whose name was called John. And John, the Bible says, he shall go in the spirit and power of Elijah. Not Moses. Not Samuel, but Elijah. Meaning to say, John, you will resemble his behavior, his calling, his ministry will be like Wavu, Elijah. So God will attach the calling of John to appear in the order of Elijah. Am I talking to somebody? So God does not just raise up people. So anyone else, if you're watching me now, I want you to understand it. The other men of God right now, you'd be sitting down and watching them. Unfortunately, God didn't raise you under their order. You didn't show up under their order. No, I'm talking to somebody. So you appeared under this order. So people confuse themselves by being all over, everywhere. They don't even understand what they're trying to do. They are here, they are there, they are there. They don't even know what they're doing. And listen to me. When God prepares you under a certain order, you will live under that order. Am I speaking to somebody? You save under that order. So the biggest problem is when people do not understand it. So normally when God puts you under a particular order, it is because there is what he calls similitudes or similarities. So John was staying in the wilderness. And the ministry of Elijah was in the wilderness. Same order. God says you will go in the spirit of who? Okay, listen. The government was after the head of Elijah. And Jezebel said, if I will not cut your head today. Am I talking to you? And again, John, the government was after his head. Because the order was similar. Am I talking to you? Yes. This is why when God is calling somebody, and then he says, he looks at you and he says, this one has got so many battles. Who can he submit who has got so many battles and he wins? People fight him, but he what?
He wins
the battles. Yes. Then you appear under that order. People fight you. Situations come after you. But here you are. Somebody say in the name of Jesus. Say under the order. So it is the order. I'm talking to you now. This is why when Jonah was running away from going to Nineveh. Are you understanding? When Jonah was running away to go to Nineveh, the Bible says God sent a fish. And he was swallowed by the fish. And the reason is this. The people of Nineveh were serving an ocean god, a sea god. The people of Nineveh were bowing to a false god that was living in the water. Am I speaking to you? And one day, as they were at the beach, some were swimming, some were fishing. Lo and behold, Their own sea, who they believed there was a God, appeared with a big fish. And they said, our God is here. And he swallowed a human being. And that person, when he came out, he says, I want you to realize God of Israel has sent me. The Bible says the way they repented. Because he came by the fashion they thought they were familiar with. By the same order. So Jonah came by the order. No, you didn't hear what I was trying to say. This is why even God, when he appeared to Moses, Moses didn't grow up in the temple. Moses grew up in the palace of Egypt. And in the palace of Egypt, there were magicians in the palace of Egypt. These magicians would take a stick, throw it down. It would become what? A snake. The first thing God spoke to Moses, he said, Moses, throw your stick down. Same order. You're not getting it. This is why if the world uses money as their order, God will raise you up in a certain order that they'll be challenged. So God creates similitudes both in church and in the outside. Now, I want you to get something that is very important. So if one is a man of God, like myself, and God has raised up an order and you are under that order, and my order, there is no poverty.
Yes.
And then you. No, I didn't finish the statement. I didn't finish the statement. It means there's a disorder. We need to rearrange this order. Am I talking to somebody here? Do you understand that I can say now, right now, I can say, raise up your phone and I can begin to pray. Listen to me. I can begin to pray now. People begin to say, my fees has been paid. My debts have been canceled. Because in this order, money listens to our voice. Am I talking to somebody right here? In this order, money what? Listen, when we come, I will say, money appear, money will show up. Contracts show up, contracts. So, in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, the Bible says, and I want to get it. The Bible says,
without father,
okay,
or mother,
all right,
without now, genealogy.
Okay, I think for people to understand who we're talking about, read this one, okay, and then verse 3.
This Melchizedek was king of Salem, a priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever.
Are you getting that? Any TPT on the same verse 3, it says what?
This Melchizedek has no father or mother and no record of any of his ancestors. He was never born and he never died. But his life is like a picture of the Son of God, a king priest forever.
A king what?
Priest forever.
A king priest. Not just a priest. I don't know why most believers do not understand this revelation. So we are seeing that Melchizedek had no father, no ancestors, no parents, and he was never born and he never died. Yet he was living. In chapter 6, verse 20, such type of a man, listen to me, such type of a man who was never born, he had no beginning, no end, no ancestors. When God was sending Jesus, he looked for a person of the similar what? Order. That's why in chapter 6, verse 20, it says what?
where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
So you're understanding? So every priest, when he's appearing, he appears under a certain what? Order. You do not just appear. And this is a problem where many believers have not accepted it. You appear under a certain order. You are not just there where you are. God will bring you under a certain order. The question is, whose order have you appeared? Under whose order? So you see, so Jesus appeared under the order of Melchizedek. Are you understanding this? Are you understanding this? So God creates orders. Now, I told you this before. I said, Abraham, when he appeared just as him as a priest. He was offering what? Sacrifices before the, which is a priestly responsibility. He was worshiping God, which are the priestly responsibilities. But, one day, he had all prophecies in his life. One day, he needed the Melchizedek blessing, the Melchizedek anointing. In chapter 14, which we read, I think, for some days now, of Genesis, verse 18, the Bible says, Melchizedek showed up to Abraham. And this Melchizedek was a king of Salem, which is Jerusalem. And when he showed up, he didn't come to give Abraham some money. No. But he gave Abraham two things. Number one, the Bible says he gave him bread. Number two, he gave him wine. You didn't hear me. Which represents the Holy Communion. Melchizedek takes the communion, and he was a king of Salem, which is Jerusalem, where Jesus will be crucified. He takes the communion and he releases it. And he says, blessed be Abraham. Am I talking to somebody? Yes. Then he releases the anointing upon Abraham. Possessor of heaven and earth. And from that moment, Abraham began to possess lands, countries, and nations. And Abraham had the resources. Why? Because he did not just now begin to behave like Abraham. He began to operate in the kingly anointing. Am I speaking to somebody right? The kingly anointing came upon him, and when he's now talking, Abraham, everything changed, because the kingly anointing, which is the Melchizedek anointing, makes you to become a king without actually being a physical king somewhere else in a certain land. You become a king in your jurisdiction. And as I said that time, I said, even if you are a businesswoman, you become a queen in that business. Am I talking to somebody? If you start farming, you become a king in that farming. Your jurisdiction, because that now, it is a divine order that gives you an ability. Now, we are going to break it down and understand what happens in the Melchizedek. So the Melchizedek is not for worship. The Aaronic, it is for worship in church. The Aaronic is for sacrifice in church, for giving in church, for ministering in church, for praying in church. But the Melchizedek, it is for governance. Let's go to the book of Genesis quickly. Are you here? 22 verse 17. Blessing, I'll bless you.
Blessing, I'll bless you. In multiplying, I'll multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies.
Now, are you understanding this word? Now, wait a minute. Are you understanding this word?
Yes.
Now, whose word is coming to Abraham? Who just a few chapters ago, he has been given a blessing of possessing. Do you understand? And it's the same man who now that prophecy is continuing to say possessing, not only shall he possess, even his descendants. This is not just ironic. Now, gates represents the following things. One, Gates represents markets. Because in Israel, trade was happening at the gate. This is why Elisha said, by tomorrow morning, the price of wheat shall be three what? Shekels at the gate of Samaria. Because people in those days, the people who come from this nation, and they come at the gate, and they will do all the exchanges at the gate. So gate represents trade. Gates represents markets. Gate represents influence. That's why the Bible speaks of gates, that you shall build the gates for the king. So gates represents king, governance. It represents kingdoms. It represents you. Once your gates are taken, your kingdom has collapsed. There was a hunger in Samaria. There was a hunger in Israel because the people, the Assyrians, had come and captured the gates. Am I speaking to you? The Bible says they could not come out from the gate. And because of that, there was hunger. And people began to eat each other. Until the king said, don't we have a prophet? And the prophet said, by the gate tomorrow, this price will go down. Inflation will go down. And everything changed because of the gates. So he who controls the gates controls the markets. He who controls the gates controls governance, power. So scripture tells us to say by the Melchizedek anointing, it helps you to control the gates. Once your gates are closed, your finances are not there. That's why people say, my doors are closed. In fact, some of you, it's not even a door that closed. It's the whole gate. How your life is moving, it's not even just a door. We have to open the whole gate. Somebody, some here.
I am here.
So when we are praying, listen to me. When we are praying, you should always remember that you are not just praying. Number one, you came under an order. When you are serving in church, there's an order. As I said, there is a general order, which are two orders. And then there are also other orders that God raises up. For example, Elijah was still under the order of Aaron. He would serve as a priest. Am I talking to you? Elisha would also serve as a priest when he's serving, when he's praying, when he's interceding, standing on the gap. However, Elisha was still under another smaller order, which was under who? Elijah. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Now, get this information. So, you and I, we are all under the two general orders. The order of Aaron and the order of who?
Melchizedek.
But in service, God has also put a major one under the order of prophet angel.
Amen.
And he has put you under the order of who?
Major one.
You're getting the point?
Yes.
But we submit to two general what? Orders. Which are what? Of Aaron and of Melchizedek. And the reason why we submit to the Melchizedek order, it is because it is the picture of Christ. Am I speaking to somebody right here? Which is now royal priesthood. That's what the Bible says. We are a chosen what?
Generation.
A royal priesthood. Not just priests, but from a royal, we have got royalty. So when you stand in the markets, God does not expect you to behave like a priest in the church. He expects you to think like a what? Like a king. So scripture tells us that God said, and your descendants shall possess the gates, trade, commerce, economy must be possessed. That's where the Jesus nation comes in. We are taking over. Say with me. But I can promise you, we will not use the anointing of Aaron to possess. Here we need a strategy. Here we need the Melchizedek. Somebody say, I'm here, prophet.
I'm here, prophet.
So many believers have been taught how to survive. So many believers, they have been trained and taught how to survive in the marketplace. But very few have been taught how to govern the markets. Outside church, the world is not smiling at us. In fact, they wish us to fail. We do not use the temple anointing outside the church. We use the Melchizedek. I pray for your strategies. I pray for your ideas. Many people have been taught how to pray for a job, but very few have been taught how to use the anointing to build industries. I'm trying to communicate. So many people have been taught how to seek promotion in prayer. So many people have been taught how to seek opportunities, but very few have the anointing to create opportunities. It is time to start thinking like a king. We can't be talking about the Jesus nation, yet you are still thinking like a servant. I want to give you a challenge. Are you here?
Yes.
I want to give you what?
A challenge.
I want to give you a challenge. Think something very difficult, extremely difficult, and tell yourself you're going to do it. And if you have no idea, pray. Even if it will take you 3 weeks to get that idea. Do you understand what made Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego very great? It isn't because they were great, but because they could have a dream, a vision. And the Bible says they prayed for 3 weeks, praying for interpretation of their vision. To understand how to navigate the idea. All you're doing is when you try, it fails, you try, it fails, you sit down. I've been trying and things are moving. Not again. This time around, there is a nation that is rising.
I say
there is a nation that is rising.
Am I
talking to somebody?
Yes.
Stop being dependent. Stop depending on, I'm now, more especially women. God will give you an anointing like you've never seen. I see women in our church buying cars for their husbands. Most women have normalized. It's like it's normal to say, you know what? I think it has to be my husband who must be blessed. You are joking. Do you understand that the whole nation of Israel was saved by one woman by the name Esther? The whole church, this ECG, we can, all of us can be saved just because of one woman. She can show up and say, Papa, I want to build a church. Can I prophesy? Hey, it's not far from today. It isn't far from today. So understand this. The Melchizedek anointing isn't just the anointing to participate. It is the anointing to govern, completely to govern. If you are into mining, you are going to take over mining. Can I repeat this prophecy?
Oh, yes.
If you are into mining, you will take over mining. This is not a discussion. It is completely governance, dominance. If one day I saw people how they will begin to control properties. Thank you, Father. Because we are the Jesus nation. Melchizedek anointing is associated with leadership, with the governance, with the strategy, with the planning, with the trade, with the systems, system creations. Once again, in verse 18 of Genesis 14, there's an emphasis: king, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High. Look at the emphasis. The man was the king and what?
And priest of God.
The man was both the king
and priest.
And the priest. So what is this saying? The man possessed spiritual authority and territorial authority. You can have spiritual authority and not have authority in a territory. So whatever territory that you are going to have, or you're operating on, God is expecting you to be a leader. But see, the problem is, people become timid. You'll sit there and you see what's happening and you say, but how can I? And there are people who are very much satisfied with Aaronic anointing. Remember, Aaronic anointing, it is for us to use in the church. And God said it clearly. He said to Aaron, the anointing I've given you as a priest in my house, it will not help you to possess land outside. It's not for inheritance. It is for me. But the Melchizedek anointing, it is for governance, for God's people. However, it is associated with righteousness. This anointing, nobody understands it. Why? Because Jesus Christ mentioned of this anointing in John chapter 3. In verse 8. Do you know what Jesus Christ mentioned?
The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
What was he saying? He was mentioning of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, no one knows where he came from, and nobody knows where he was going. The Bible says he had no beginning and no ending. And the Bible says, so is he who is born of the Spirit. It is a dimension that no one understands. It's the order. When you are born of the Spirit, nobody understands you. It gets a level where even yourself, you don't understand yourself. As I'm speaking right now, you don't even know where you're going. If you have a neighbor, say, I'm a mystery. I gave you my life. Somebody came to me with a high dimension in the spirit, and he came to me and complaining. Ah, Papa, my life, I don't understand myself. Even the people don't understand me. Ah, I'm tired. I said, sir, it's a dimension where no one understands you. Even yourself, you don't understand yourself. He said, what do you mean? I said, it's a mystery. I said, you are mysterious. I said, you are mysterious. I said, I got to this level myself. Not long term. I said, some few years ago, I got to that level where even myself, I stopped understanding myself. And I thought it was a problem until God said, it's not a problem. You have become a mystery. No one will understand you. If you're in this dimension, welcome to a higher dimension. Understand you, even you are so very. I don't understand myself. I don't understand why do you want to understand? The Bible says the things of the spirit are a mystery, God has hidden them. So you need to understand that God is releasing this anointing. Let me finish this scripture. Proverbs 22, verse 29.
Do you see a man who excel in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men.
NIV, some scripture. Give me NIV.
Do you see someone skilled in their work? They will serve before kings. They will not serve before officials of low rank.
Say, that's where I belong.
That's where I belong.
No, you're not answering properly. You're not getting properly. Say, come on, somebody say, that's where I belong. Scripture says if you are skilled in your work, are you getting it? If you're what? You will stand before kings, not before what? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to prophesy over your life that even the networks God will begin to open for you are not small networks. In King James Version, it puts it better.
Seest thou a man diligent in his business?
Exactly.
He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men.
Do you understand that?
Oh, yes.
It says, have you seen one who's diligent? This anointing gives you diligence. And it starts opening up doors, not with mere people. Can I give you a prophecy?
Oh, yes.
I'm seeing some of you, they're invited in a boardroom you never thought you'd enter.
I
am seeing some of you entering in corridors, walking in corridors you never thought you'd go through. I save a living God. Somebody shout, I receive. Now let's read in the Message translation. Get it in the Message translation.
Observe people who are good at their work.
Do you understand that? It says what?
Observe
people. Observe.
Who are good at their work. Observe them.
Are you understanding? Continue reading.
When you go out to dinner with an influential person, mind your manners.
Some people have no manners. Somebody say, I'm here. We need to deliver people from bad manners. No, I'm trying to prepare you before you go there, because doors will open, but your manners can close them. As if I didn't train you. Say with me these words. Say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the Melchizedek anointing. I refuse to think like a servant. So wherever I go, I will take over. I belong to the Jesus Nation. I belong to the Jesus Nation. We are taking over. Say it again. We are taking over. The most important thing that I want you to see. In verse 5 of Proverbs 21. Can you read it?
The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty, surely to poverty.
This deals with the planning. God is releasing an anointing of good planners. Do you understand that as much as God is powerful, but he's powerless in the presence of a poor planner? Now let me repeat my statement. As powerful as our God is, he's completely powerless in the presence of a poor planner. He has no power. He cannot do anything in the presence of a poor planner. The Bible there says what? It says what? The plans of the diligent
lead surely to plenty.
Do you understand it?
Yes.
The plans of the diligent
lead to plenty.
Lead to surely plenty. To plenty. But those of everyone who is hasty,
Surely to poverty.
So even if you speak in tongues, you are in church, you pray, you have got the Aaronic anointing. But when you go out, you will need the anointing of planning, which is the Melchizedek anointing that helps you to plan. And if you do not have the anointing to plan, no matter how powerful God is inside of you, trust you me, he'll be very powerless in your poor planning. Warfare starts when you begin to understand warfare. Most of you think warfare is when the demons are fighting you. Listen to me. Demons understand. They do understand that the biggest place to win you, it is when they help you to be a bad planner. Am I talking to you? Do you know there are people right now who think they are looking for capital? Like right now, I am praying for capital. They think capital is money. I told a guy from Namibia. I said, "You, why are you looking for capital?" He said, "I'm looking for capital. Hey, my life is not moving." I said, "Listen to me." I said, "God is telling me right now that you are very good in mathematics." He said, "Yes." I said, "Go and open a Facebook page, a TikTok page. Go and open these pages and begin to teach mathematics for 2 months and be posting you teaching mathematics. And when people begin to come there," I said, "begin to put up classes." Do you understand? This man now, he's touching money like nobody's business. Parents began to see him. "Can you do classes?" He says, "Yeah, I'm going to open it soon." Now, he has got the classes. He has got, he goes on Zoom where he does part-time classes with so many students. He was telling me he has got over 100 students who are attending to his class and they are paying fees to him. But he was looking for what? For capital. It's an issue of Melchizedek, understanding planning. There are people who did agriculture at school. And right now, there are so many farmers in the world who want to learn about farming, who want to know what to do. And you know that wisdom. It's in you. Because capital, it's not money. It is the skill. It is the value you have. And people do not even know these things. And the Bible says, a good planner, it takes the Melchizedek anointing to help you release who you are. And the people are poor. Because all they're thinking is capital is money. It isn't. I know because I have built empires not from money. Not from money. Some of the things is your networks. And there are people right now who are building no any network. Your network is your net worth. Can I talk to somebody?
Yes.
Your network,
network
is your network. There are several types of networks. They are what you call the personal networks, which you as a person, you build personally. These could be the networks you already know. The friends, the people. These are hidden assets. Some of the things you are looking for, they're in the hands of somebody you know. And then there are social networks which you intentionally build through websites, through social media, purposely. Well, some people use social media just to post about their picture, just to post about themselves, eating in a restaurant. Some are using the same internet to create meaningful relationships and networks. So, the marketplace does not smile over your tongues. To say, speak in tongues. We need the planners. So, there are social networks. There are personal networks. And all these are networks. And we have professional networks. These are networks where you create to say, okay, I do this. If I need this, who can give it? For example, if you've got a company, you have to know who will supply this, who will do this. So you create those networks. Even like myself, I can have containers and containers because I built networks with the companies all over. They can even say, we are sending them even before you pay them. That's why rich people regard networks as gold. Or as diamond. Am I talking to somebody here?
Oh, yes.
The marketplace will not, after you pray, like, oh, yeah, bah, 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 you think things will happen. You are building no network, no nothing. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Then we have what you call strategic networks. These are networks now. You build them strength. Oh, let me not talk about the networks now. Tell your neighbor once again. Say, Melchizedek. Am I speaking to you? So, we have people right now who they just, they do not understand what is happening in the markets. These are frameworks which you build to create dominance blueprints where you operate systems that can carry you from where you are to another level. But they will not be built just by prayer in our bedroom. They'll be built by intentional planning. Take your documents and put them there and pray for strategy, pray for a plan, pray for an idea. What am I going to do here? Pray for right people to show up. Say after me, I'll be respected. Say louder, say, I'll be respected. In Proverbs 22, verse 29, observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. It says skilled workers, they are not at the back seat. They are always admired and in demand. People will look for you. I decree and decree. I said, people will look for you. We are praying. We are not just a people. This is the time when we are priests. We in our bedrooms, we speak prayer. We declare, we speak, we create as Melchizedek anointing. Because the Melchizedek anointing, one of the most strengths that it has, it is the anointing of decrees. You make declarations. When we decree, we go out, we execute. The way you will open anything is this year. How you are received is not louder. The way you create systems, the way you are taking off, I am seeing you. From now, your planning will change. Your thinking will change. You are going in the name of Jesus. You are now approaching everything in the name of Jesus. You are taking over in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout, I receive it. Imagine a man from Namibia who had no idea where the man will come from. Yet he himself was money. Do you know how many people know mathematics? So many people. And they are broke and poor and they'll go to the grave like that. Some are very good with English. And some are very good with the science subjects. And they don't even know what to do. Their hands are tired. But I want to say to you, it takes an anointing to show you and to plan and to start and to move. Do you understand? God is going to give you an idea and he will give you people you must network with. No matter how difficult they may look, how powerful they may look, I promise you, it was the same with Esther. She needed a door to open in the palace, and she knew nobody there. The only man she knew was the uncle. Am I talking to you? And the uncle too was the most hated man. But when time came, because of fasting, because of prayer, am I talking to somebody right here? Because of prayer, what they intended to happen, it happened. Whatever they were believing God to happen, happened. Am I speaking to somebody here? They fasted. They prayed. They had a mission. They needed some doors to open. They needed something to be accepted. And it was accepted. God moved Nehemiah from a servant to a diplomatic envoy. Overnight. He woke up in the morning. The king said, I'm now giving you a document. Go back to your country. I'll give you everything you need to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And I'm giving a document which no one will stop you on the road. which is a, today in our modern world is a diplomatic passport. And the king wrote it. It was an official document from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The man who was a slave, who was a servant, working in a palace as somebody who was just serving there, moved from that level to a status that nobody understood it. This shall be your portion. God doesn't play when he wants to put his people in power. When he wants his people to take over business, finance, when God, but he wants his people, the people who have given their lives totally to God, the people who love God with their hearts, not who are here because they're looking for a breakthrough only. No, but people who say, I love God with my spirit. I love God with my heart. People who can close the door and they operate in the Aaronic, where they can worship God alone in their rooms, where they can speak in tongues in their rooms, where they can pray and talk to Yahweh and to God. And when they walk out, they're also still powerful in the outside. Somebody shout, I am hearing you, prophet. Yeah.